Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. He's been keeping an eye on that all-important electoral map and where the race between former President Donald Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris stands. We're going to do a rundown of the electoral map with Scott Parkinson. Scott, good to have you here.
It's always great to be with you, Loman. Thanks for having me back.
As we all know, hopefully everybody knows, electing a president is not a national election. It's a state-by-state election with the electoral votes rather than the popular vote being what really matters. So, Scott, let's start on the left coast in California and work our way across the country. What do you see happening in the swing states?
There's a lot of people in California. It's our biggest state in the country. But those 54 electoral votes are going to be locked in for Kamala Harris. It's her home state. And despite sort of an exciting Republican Senate candidate, Steve Garvey, the former Major League Baseball player, running against so-called Shifty Schiff, I think that one's going to be in the blue column. But the neighboring state there, Nevada, has a real opportunity to flip red. Right now, the Real Clear Politics average has Nevada as a toss-up state. But when you dig into the details and take away the toss-up opportunities, Donald Trump is slightly winning in Nevada. They also have a really, really big Senate race. The Republican nominee is Sam Brown, a wounded warrior. Right now, he's looking like he might not pull it out. Then you go a little bit southeast of Nevada. Same thing with Arizona, looking really good for Donald Trump to pick it up. But Kerry Lake is falling behind Ruben Gallego. So we need to make sure that Kerry Lake has all the resources necessary to win that race. We know how close she came when she ran for governor in 2022. And ultimately, I think that the balance of the Senate could lie between Nevada and Arizona. We do feel great about the opportunity, obviously, of winning West Virginia now that Joe Manchin stepped aside. And farther up north from Arizona, in Montana, Tim Sheehy is going to defeat John Tester. That's not a swing state. That's a locked-in red state for Trump. The Democrats, for several cycles, have tried to target Texas, given the changing demographics and the 40 electoral votes that are down there. Nonetheless, Trump is going to bring home Texas, and Ted Cruz is going to win comfortably there against Colin Allred. I think that Barack Obama sort of changed the electoral map, especially during his reelection, and he won a lot of the Rust Belt, right? But then in 2016, Donald Trump focused on states like Wisconsin and Michigan and Ohio and Pennsylvania, and he really did a clean sweep there. But the problem right now is that, according to Real Clear Politics average, those toss-up states, Michigan and Wisconsin, today would go to Kamala Harris and the Democrats. And there's also two big Senate races in those states. Trump is just slightly behind in both those states. And so then you go down to Ohio, and Ohio is a state that has performed very, very well for Donald Trump in 2016 and 2020, and they have 17 electoral votes. It's a big, big state in terms of population. And right now, Donald Trump would be cleaning up in Ohio, but we also have a big, big Senate race there where Bernie Moreno is facing incumbent Sherrod Brown. If we can do that and win West Virginia and flip that Montana seat, you know, obviously the Senate Republicans would reclaim the majority, because there just aren't a lot of flip opportunities for the Senate Democrats. As we continue to make our way east, there's a couple of big states that you guys are going to recall from 2020 that Trump did not win, that ultimately, I think, resulted in him losing the presidency. One of those states was Georgia. And Georgia has gone through ballot reforms and really election integrity reforms that improve our chances at making sure that there's honesty at the ballot box. Just farther south there in Florida, for a long time, Florida was the toss-up state in presidential races. But the thing there is you've got a great governor, Ron DeSantis, that is really, I think, invested in the Republican Party of Florida. And Florida is a solid Republican state now. It also happens to be the home state of Donald Trump. Then you go a little bit farther north in North Carolina. We've got a competitive governor's race. You've got several competitive House races. North Carolina has 16 electoral votes, but I feel confident that Donald Trump is going to win North Carolina against Kamala Harris. And then when you get a little bit farther north, you got your state, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and there are 19 electoral votes. So in totality, when you look at the Real Clear Politics average and the electoral map by eliminating toss-up states and actually awarding them red or blue if the election were today, right now, Real Clear Politics has Trump and Vance defeating Harris and Waltz 287 to 251. But you need 270 votes, electoral votes, to win the presidency. And Pennsylvania, and their 19 electoral votes, if that goes to Harris and Waltz, that gives them 270 votes based on the map today. So it really does come down to a few of those bellwether counties in Pennsylvania. It comes down to just, once again, the rural areas running up the score, building enthusiasm behind somebody that I think really represents the Rust Belt and the forgotten voter, the disconnected voter, very well in Donald Trump, and with his running mate, J.D. Vance, and really the story that he brings from Appalachia and having success in the Marine Corps and being an author and a U.S. senator in his late 30s. It's going to be really exciting. Everybody kind of gets that, right? Especially if you're a political junkie and this is the kind of thing you're paying really, really close attention to. But the bottom line is the decisions that Washington, D.C. makes, from the Resolute Desk to the halls of Congress, really do impact our everyday lives. And if you don't believe me, look at the economic situation through historic inflation for the past 4 years, exceeding 20%, and then also the illegal alien invasion that has ushered in more than 10 million illegal aliens to all corners of America, bringing along high crime and drugs and really threatening the safety of our communities.
Well, Pennsylvania is always interesting, both in 2016 and 2020. About 40,000 to 60,000 votes decided that state's electoral votes. We have been talking with Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. And Scott, a few words about the club.
Well, today we kind of talked more about the political arm of the club, which is Club for Growth PAC. What we're trying to do there is elect free market economic conservatives that will make a difference in government. If you want to learn about the candidates that we've endorsed for the 2024 cycle, visit clubforgrowth.org.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, thank you for being here.
You're welcome.